concerned.
Welcome to Opening Credits, the podcast where we try to demystify the world of filmmaking one credit at a time. I'm Stephen Nutley.
And I'm Laura Whitehouse.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
I've been doing all the homework, if not more.
Have you?
And I made it to the cinema, which is pretty incredible.
Finally.
Because you know how busy and important I am. So.
It's only taken you 3 weeks to get there.
I didn't go and see Poor Things, though. Of course not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry.
What was the alternative?
I went to go and see Wicked Little Letters.
Nice.
So my mum, it was a very mum suggestion because it's got Olivia Colman in.
Yeah.
It was very good. So it's very family friendly. Take your mums, take your grandmas. It's a quaint British film, which is my sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
No Peril, Light Menace.
Light Menace.
A smattering of menace. Which
okay.
is what I want to see in a film. I don't want any more than a vague threat.
Only a smattering. I literally know nothing about it. I think I've seen some promo stuff about swearing.
Yeah, a lot of swearing. Maybe I'll give some context. So it's about this little village in, I think, the 1920s, and suddenly everyone in the village starts getting these ridiculous letters that say things like, you're a smelly little whore and things, which is very obviously quite shocking. It's the 1920s.
Did your mum do this?
Yeah, I did. I did actually, it flashed up at the beginning with, you know that this is a 15 caution and then it lists what's in the film and it says swearing and then suggestion of sex. And I was like, oh God, I think that's okay to see with your mum.
Is that what the mild peril was?
That was the mild peril. I got very angsty and had to leave the cinema.
The warning at the beginning.
I know.
Palpitations.
But yeah, about all these letters that are written, and it's basically a bit of a detective story, a bit feminist. Who's writing these letters? Very funny. Solid cast.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. I'd recommend.
Well, that's a much safer bet to see with your mum than Poor Things.
Yes.
Which is basically porn things.
Oh, nice.
Well, it's good that you went to the cinema. Nice.
I went to the cinema, took the day off. It was very nice.
Cool.
I've been watching, on your recommendation, Shrinking as well.
Very good. Have you found it?
I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
It's good, isn't it? It's nice to, like I said, I watched it to balance out Masters of the Air and also the horror that is Alice and Jack, which we'll come on to in a minute.
But, we should talk about it. Yes, I should say, do people know what Shrinking is? I feel like I have many.
Let's summarize Shrinking.
Shrinking has Jason Segel from How I Met Your Mother fame. Is that how you say his name? Not sure.
Close enough.
Yeah. As a therapist who has recently lost his wife, raising his teenage daughter and trying to therapize people at the same time with great cast, some very good jokes.
It's very funny, isn't it?
It is very funny. Easy watching. Again, mild to no peril.
Yeah, very, do you find it's quite Scrubsy, Ted Lasso-y kind of humour?
Yes. It has, I really recognised his neighbour, who was played by the wife in Scrubs.
Jordan in Scrubs.
Jordan in Scrubs.
Krista Miller.
Krista Miller. Nice. Boom.
Speaking of Scrubs, one of the episodes is directed by Zach Braff.
Nice.
Of Scrubs fame.
He directs quite a lot, doesn't he? Isn't that his main shtick now rather than acting?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, I think he still does the odd acting role, but just a good recommendation, that one. Apple TV.
Yeah, and you mentioned that you've seen Alice and Jack and you seem quite angry about that.
What have you done to me? So I'll set you a recommendation. I'll see some homework of going and watch Shrinking, which is just a nice, funny, heartwarming show.
Uh-huh.
And then you said I should go to, I think you called it 4OD.
Oh, yeah. I keep calling it that, but it's not.
I think it was originally 4OD.
And
but now it's All Four?
All Four. Ridiculous. Four, More Four? Is it More Four?
More Four? Maybe. I thought it was All Four. No, they should have stuck with 4OD.
4OD was great. What was wrong with that?
Everyone knew 4OD.
Fuck's sake.
Anyway, it's on that Channel 4 streaming app.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And, yeah, you were particularly angry about the main character, Alice, in it. And I was like, come on, she's taking this a little bit personally. How bad can this woman be? I don't think I've disliked a character more so quickly since Joffrey in Game of Thrones.
And it's weird because it's set in the real world modern day. So it's mad that someone cannot actively kill people and still I hate her that much.
The very first thing that comes out of her mouth, you're like, oh, okay, she's horrible. Like, how many red flags does one guy need?
I know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How far in are you?
I've only watched one.
I've finished it now.
You finished it?
I will say there are some reasons that come out as to why she's such a dick, right?
Yeah, there must be a reason that she's such an a-hole.
I would say if you have any, I won't reveal what they are, but I feel like don't just dive into it. Because trigger warning, some of the reasons are a bit, I would just look into the show before you watch it if you tend to be triggered by certain things, I would say.
Yeah.
Really vague. Don't want to ruin the show for anyone, but also don't want to send people into this wormhole.
That's fair.
But there are reasons that are touched on, but I still hate her.
She's giving off serious serial killer vibes.
Yeah.
And he's still just like letting her back into his life and she's bloody awful.
Do you think it's Moorish though? Like because I watched the first one, found her intolerable, and then immediately watched all of it. Are you kind of in that boat or are you kind of reticent to finish it?
No, I want to watch it because I am intrigued. Like you say, you said, I think last week that you need something contentious and it's definitely that. And yeah, I want to see what happens. I want to know more about her. I am intrigued.
Just you wait. You are about to dive into a whole fucking disgusting world. You're going to hate her even more.
Well, thank you for such a great recommendation.
It's good though, isn't it? I did enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I have got, this is the last episode of this season. So I've got a few weeks to watch that. And I haven't forgotten about Succession. Just in case anyone's listening and I'm like, he hasn't watched Succession yet. Don't let him off. I haven't forgotten. I do want to watch it. That's actually one I've been wanting to watch for a while. So I'll come back for season 3, having watched it, and then we can talk about Succession. That's my pledge.
That's your pledge.
But we've made it. Episode 10 of season 2.
Yeah.
Have you found it? Enjoyed yourself?
Had a great time, thanks.
Yeah, it's been good. We've covered several credits. What have we covered?
Greens, illustrator, production designer.
Scenic painter, graphic artist, costume designer, and art director. Not a bad haul.
Really not bad at all.
This leads me nicely on to what I've got planned for you next, Laura.
Lovely.
I've devised, as an end of season special, an opening credits pop quiz. But because it's a podcast, it's a pod quiz.
Pod quiz. I love and am terrible at quizzes. This is great.
This is going to test your knowledge of the episodes that have come throughout the season.
Oh, fuck, don't.
They're easier for the earlier episodes and they get harder for the more recent ones because they're going to be more fresh in your memory.
This is a terrible idea.
No pressure, but this is high stakes. It's pass or fail. So if you fail, you're off. That's it. You've blown it.
Fire me. I quit anyway.
What are you going to do? Fire me? Well, the listeners can play along.
So this is going to be interesting.
Let's play opening credits pod quiz. Question one. This season of the podcast opened with a two-part special recorded live at the Graphics Union's Golden Nib Awards. I spoke to some of the winners, including Alicia Martin, Matilda Craston, and Maya King, who are part of the graphics team on Barbie. What are they collectively known as on Instagram?
They are collectively known as Barbie Graphic. Graphics Barbies. No.
It is Graphics Barbies.
Yeah?
At Graphics Barbies on Instagram.
Yes, I knew it.
With 85% of the vote, Barbie.
What does this Barbie say?
This is literally the dream job, and we feel so lucky to do it. And we love, like, Sarah and Katie, who we work for. And thank you to everyone, and dream job, and thank you for voting.
Well done again. It's just such a shame no one saw the film.
There you go. One out of one. So far, so
I'm
good.
I'm really nervous about this. I can't believe this was genuinely a surprise that we were doing this today, just for anyone listening. So
I've really sprung it on you.
Really sprung it on me. And we're also against the clock because we only have 24 minutes left of our recording software. So
it's like real life stakes. I'm making it as realistic as possible.
Real life stakes. And I'm using those minutes to just talk so you have time to ask me fewer questions.
Well, that didn't work because here's question two. In episode two, I had a chat with the host of the evening of the Graphics Union's Golden Nib Awards, Radio 1's film critic, Ali Plum. But what was Ali wearing underneath his snazzy suit, which he revealed during the awards ceremony?
Was it a Spider-Man top, a Superman top, a font-related T-shirt? Ooh. I was hoping your question was going to be who was the host of the Golden Nib Awards, and alas, here we are.
So.
Okay. So final answer I'm going to lock in is some sort of font-related T-shirt.
Can you be more specific?
Did it have Comic Sans on? People love a Comic Sans T-shirt.
I can't give that to you, no.
What was it?
I just like hanging out with similarly nerdy people. And
yeah,
I think
it's
tonight
a good crowd for that, yeah.
Is definitely that.
We have room full of film nerds.
I could make a lot of very obscure references and get away with it.
Including your very fetching Oppenheimer Barbie T-shirt.
Yes. Yeah, when I revealed Superman style the clothing I was wearing underneath my snazzy suit, which was a T-shirt that had the word Oppenheimer on it, but in the Barbie font. So very attractive.
I think that stole the show, yeah.
Form an orderly queue, ladies. It's been... Yeah, that was a move.
A little Barbenheimer reference there. Barbenheimer joke.
Barbenheimer. That's very good, yeah. Okay, I'll allow it.
How to win over a crowd of graphic designers. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, good.
Question three is also related to that same episode because I want to make it a nice round number of 10 questions.
Yep.
Can you name the movie that Ali is describing here?
It is a real riot, like a proper, oh, they did that, wow, they did that. Sexy, obsessive, a really filthy, interesting, messy, weird movie. It's oh, so nice. It's so nice and dark.
What's he talking about there?
Okay.
I reckon you'll get it. The words sexy, filthy, messy, weird.
Is it Saltburn?
And Saltburn is delicious. It is a real riot, like a proper...
Saltburn is correct.
Yes! 2 out of 2 ain't bad. 2 out of 3. 1 out of 2.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. I reckon you'll get this one. These are supposed to be ramping up in difficulty, but for question 4, I'm being quite nice to you.
Okay.
In episode 3 of this podcast, we met Beth Spence, who works in the Greens department, who told us about a particular celebrity tree, that's hard to say, which has been in about 10 or 15 productions.
Celebrity.
Yes, hashtag celebrities. But what type of tree is it?
Is it an oak tree? Oh.
Come on now, you can do this.
I feel like it has an A in it. An A, no.
A tree.
A tree, Mr. Tree, that's his name. Oh, his name was Mr. Tree. going off now.
So it was in a plant nursery somewhere, but he said it's been about 10 or 15 things. The celebrity tree.
For fuck's sake.
You kept talking about how you wanted to touch it.
I know, and I'll never touch it now because it will be so mortified after it listens to this.
I'm sorry, tree, if you're listening, but Laura doesn't remember you.
No, all I have in my head is oak. I'm terrible at quizzes. I don't know why you...
Oh, told you it's going to get difficult. I'm not messing around with this. It was, in fact, an olive tree.
There's this huge olive tree that must have been in 10, 15 productions. I feel like it needs its own agent at this point.
Where is this tree, do you say?
In a plant nursery. In a plant nursery, ready to be used for something else.
Oh, Jesus.
God, I'd love to touch that tree. think of who's been around it.
It's got its own security. You can't get anywhere near it.
Olive. I wouldn't have got that. No way. Not a chance
really?
Of hell.
You actually said during the episode, olive's a nice name for that tree as well. Which is why I thought you'd get it.
A really bad memory. I don't know if we're going to be friends after this quiz.
These are getting harder as well.
For fuck's sake.
Next, we went down under and met Australian creative couple Natasha and Jack Carty and heard about Tash's illustration work, including the children's book they've just made together. When Jack and Tash were living in the UK, what was the question that they had to answer to be granted access to the Aussies in London Facebook group?
It was, what's an ambo? Or shall I say, what's an ambo?
No, you probably shouldn't.
I shouldn't know. And they disagreed because Tash said, oh, it's an ambulance. And Jack said, no, it's a paramedic. And then they said, why? This shouldn't even be a question because we don't even know the answer. That was really good, right? That was spot on.
Well, here's the clip.
This has reminded me of something. While we're in the UK, we joined an Aussies in London group and on Facebook or something. And I remember there was a question to screen out people that weren't Aussies from joining the group because it was an Aussies in London group.
Yes.
And the question was, and I'm going to ask you guys now to see if you can, if you would be able to get through the high-tech security system into the Aussies in London group. The question was, what's an ambo?
An ambo.
Ambulance.
Steve says an ambulance. What do you say, Laura?
Ambo. An ambo would be an insult.
Oh, that's not a bad guess.
That's a good guess.
So you're both wrong, but Steve is less wrong.
It's definitely an ambulance.
It's not an ambulance. It's a paramedic.
Ambo is short for ambulance.
Yeah, but no, and well, this is embarrassing because now there's Australians disagreeing about it. But
the test is flawed.
And ambo is a paramedic.
I can't tell the difference. Uncanny impression. I mean, Jack and Tasha were listening. I apologise. You said too much Diet Coke. There you go. Got it.
I'm pleased.
What is an ambo? And it is, in fact, a paramedic.
Yeah.
Okay, well done. Very good.
Thank you.
Next, question six.
Yes.
What are the top three qualities that production designer Tom Bowyer looks for when hiring his team? Bonus point if you get them in order.
Oh.
You get five guesses to get three.
Punctuality?
Correct.
Yeah.
Followed by
a can-do attitude.
No. Any more guesses?
Yeah. Team player?
No.
Fuck!
You've got two left.
I got two left. Positivity?
No.
I don't know.
The clue is laughter.
Fun? Funny?
I'll give you that. Sense of humour.
Sense of humour. Good.
Last but not least, I think I've got one guess left.
I have a terrible memory. This is terrible. A car. A driving license.
He did talk about having a driving license, yeah. But that wasn't one of the things he looks for. It was, in fact, common sense.
For me, I know this sounds really boring, but punctuality for me is like, I'm a bit obsessive about punctuality. I really can't bear people are late. So being on time, massive tick. I mean, if someone's more than 5 minutes late, it's pretty sure I'm not going to use them because I think if you can't be at the interview early, then... Yes, you know, you have to be punctual in our industry, you really do. So that's number one. Number two, sense of humour. Number three, common sense. And then after that, it's qualifications and work. But honestly, common sense is about 70% of what we do. So someone can adapt and change and work out what they need to do and think on their feet. That's a huge part of what we do because it's never the same. No job is the same. So that, for me, is vital. Then, obviously, portfolios and what you've done, you know, is great. But I see a hell of a lot of portfolios, and I'm, you know, sadly, a lot of them are quite similar because people have done the same courses and stuff. So I'm not, you know, everyone can who's done a drawing course can draw fine, and you know, I'm not so worried about that. I'm far more concerned about the person and common sense and sense of humor and punctuality.
Punctuality, sense of humor, and common sense. Got those three things, you're on Tom's team.
You're on Tom's team.
Yeah. All right. You get one for punctuality.
Yeah.
Next up, here's one I think you might get. How many lutes did did scenic painter Gary Loughran have to paint for Chris Pine's character in Dungeons and Dragons, which a little birdie told me you worked on. So that birdie might have been you.
Oh, good.
You can be five above or below, and I'll give you the point.
Seven.
No, you're way under.
25.
Ooh, I have to give you that. It's 30.
Yes!
There was some fiberglass ones, and there was some hard rubber ones, and some really soft rubber ones. And there was two real ones that I'm sure could actually be played, like, for real. So I was led to believe. But yeah, I think all in all, I painted about 30.
Oh my God.
I know. But I mean, I had that process down pat. Anytime Anna would come in and be like, need another loot, I'd be like, give me 40 minutes. Done.
30 loots.
Annoyingly, I was going to say 25 to start with, and then I psyched myself out of it, and because I thought that was ridiculous. That's obviously just daft.
30 in the end. That's a lot of loots.
Yeah, that is a lot of loots.
Hope you're having fun if you're playing along at home. Playing along, isn't this fun? I'm having fun. Are you having fun?
I'm having fun.
Good. Question 7. 8?
I think 8, yeah.
Question 8. In episode 7, this is why I'm confused. In episode 7, we met your first Laura Goes Digging find, for want of a better word, graphic artist Max Bode. But how many original variations of the Waystar Royco logo did Max have to make for Succession? I will give you a point if you're 10 above or below. Pick a number.
100.
No, but it was a lot. It's a bit more than that. 150.
It took about like 5 rounds, and I would say, like, when you stand back and look at it, there were probably like 150 different variations of it until, God, like, the fifth round, it got narrowed down to 4, and then finally they chose the one that they like.
150 original variations. Mental.
I'm just seeing myself out. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's quite mean doing the specific number questions, but who am I to judge, hey?
Well, the next one isn't numerical, you'd be glad to know.
Thank God.
For episode 8, I paid the Masked Singer costume makers, Plunge Creations, a visit and had a tour of the workshop. And then we had a chat with the costume designer, Tim Simpson. Which costume from this season of The Masked Singer did Tim say he'd wish he'd gone nuttier with?
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a foot as big as humanly possible, like the size of the stage.
Nicely done. Yeah. He wanted that to be the pun, that it's so big that it's obviously Bigfoot.
This season, there were some costumes which I think are dotty enough, and there's a couple where I go, oh, I wish we'd gone the extra mile. I wish we'd gone weirder. I wish, you know, Bigfoot, we've had, you know, Bigfoot. I just wanted the foot to be so big. I wanted it to be the size of a sofa so that the performer could hardly move. That was my gag, was that this foot is going to be so stupidly big that of course it's called Bigfoot, but instead it was like, it came down to the practicality. Ultimately, you've got to put a performer in it, and they've actually got to be able to walk on stage and sing. And so we had to curtail that one a little bit, but I wish we'd gone nuttier.
I would never forget anything my favourite person Tim said, ever.
See, that's an easy one, wasn't it?
That was good.
It's not over. This torture is not over. We have now made it to question 10, the final question, which relates to something that happened last week. So this is going to be a real test. Question 10. Last week, we met art director Aidan Miller. Where was the office building that Aidan turned into a hospital ward?
All right, repeat the question. One more.
Where was the... So she converted an office building for The Nest, she said.
Yes, into a hospital.
Where was this office building that she turned into a hospital ward?
Can I just say Glasgow?
You can.
But it's not right.
But she specifically named an area in Glasgow.
You know what? The listeners at home are screaming at me right now. They're like, oh, for fuck's sake, Laura. It's obviously...
It's quite hard. It's quite hard. I thought I'd sort of pick the most obscure thing that she said just to really put you to the test.
Yeah, really kind of you. No, don't know. Hit me with it.
It's the area called Postle in Glasgow.
Postle, of course.
Hospitals can be tricky. There are some training wards in unis in Scotland that will let you come in and do a bit of filming. But ultimately, if it's a hospital, you're going to need to make it. So we took an old office building in Postle, really near to our production office, and we turned the entire floor into like a ward, a hospital corridor, ultrasound room. We even had a corner of a set that was a surgery where the lady was getting a C-section. And watching it with my husband, he's like, you know, I don't really get what did you do? I don't get it. And I'm like, see all that? None of that's real. That's literally in an office building in Postle.
Do you know Postle?
No, don't know Postle. Been to Glasgow about 5 times. So no, not familiar.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
You'd be glad to know it's over. How do you find that? Was that excruciating?
I really enjoyed it, actually. I really did.
I'm glad.
And it was a very good idea. And now everyone can remember all the fun we've had, the journeys, the joys, the tears, the laughter over series two.
Go back and listen to anything that took your fancy there. What a selection to choose from, eh?
And while you're there, you could give us 5 stars on Spotify. And I'm only saying that because other podcasts say it, and I feel like it's fun. People always say that on podcasts.
They do, actually, yeah. What was your final score? Do you get to stay? I'll give you 0.5 point for Glasgow.
6.5.
6.5 out of a potential
13.
Yeah.
That's half. That's 50%. That's a C. That's a stay.
I'll take it, yeah. I'm fine. You can come back.
So rude.
Yay, she stays. Yay.
Great, can't wait.
No, that does make me happy. That does make me happy. I would have rigged it for you to stay anyway.
Thank you. I really would have appreciated that. I'm actually glad you didn't tell me we had a test before this episode, because I would have tried to listen to them all again and actually panicked. So yeah, this was good. Just the humiliation was what I needed.
Probably put you on the spot.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you get the honours next time. End of season 3. We'll bring it back.
And if you get less than 50%, I will be kicking you off the podcast.
It's all yours. Take the reins.
It's going to be really hard because you do all the editing, so I don't know what I'll do. So I'm not doing that.
Yeah, just make the quiz really easy.
Yeah, I will.
Nice. That's me a favour.
Perfect.
There you go. That's a wrap on season 2.
So exciting. Thanks for joining us along for the ride. It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
It has really been an absolute pleasure to be on this podcast, and I'm really looking forward to series 3, to bigger and better things.
Bigger and better. Coming soon.
Keep your ears peeled.
We are going to take a short break back in the spring. It won't be as long as the gap between season 1 and 2, because that was over a year, so it won't be that long.
We already have some exciting guests lined up for you.
We do.
And if you have anyone that you would like to hear from, any people or role, just shoot us a DM or follow us online, Instagram @openingcredits. On TikTok, we are @weareopeningcredits.
Yeah, just because the podcast is off the air temporarily, we'll still be around on the socials. If you miss us, drop us a DM.
Yeah, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
We're back in the spring. You won't have to wait long.
Back in the spring. Perfect.
We'll be right back after these short messages. I'm waffling now.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. See you soon.
Bye.